This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
It's AT Explained. I'm Matt Largy. For each one of these things, we get people to write us with their questions, and then you vote on them to see which one we investigate. And it was only a matter of time before we did this question, because, weirdly, it is probably the most common thing people have asked us about so far for AT Explained. It's recycling. People really want to know where their recycling goes. KUT's Mose Bushell took a shot at collecting a bunch of recycling questions.
Yes, would you like to have a little Coke?
Sure thing.
Okay.
When I met Kathy Bell Hargrave, I was still kind of struggling with how to open this story.
And again, I'm really not sure if this is the end or the beginning or something else entirely.
But at least we had a plan for our visit. We were going to have a couple drinks. See, Kathy takes her recycling very seriously.
Every can that I open, every plastic bottle, although I kind of try to avoid plastic bottles, but every piece of paper, everything, I want to recycle it.
But like a lot of people, she doesn't really understand how recycling works. So each time she does this, it seems to kind of drive her crazy.
The city takes it away, but what happens to it? I don't know. Does it go to a recycling facility that's super high tech, or is it an assembly line of little old ladies in plastic gloves?
She wants to know how much of it actually ends up in landfills.
Paper labels that are on a plastic bottle. You can leave those on, but they have to come off at some point.
And don't get her started on the pizza boxes.
I know people throw them in there. What happens to those things?
Do you think other people think about recycling quite as much as you do?
Probably not.
Actually, they do.
Where does our recycling really end up?
What are the most common items inappropriately placed in recycling bins?
How clean do peanut butter jars really have to be?
Why do they pick up trash every week and recycling every 2 weeks? Shouldn't it be the opposite?
That was Glenna Suarez, James McLean, and Ryan Hawkins with just a few questions we've received about recycling for our AT Explained project. In fact, we got so many questions, we're going to try to answer as many as we can in this one story. We'll do it by following a can. Let's say this one.
I'm going to crush up this can and put it in recycling.
So, first stop, the blue bin. Now imagine you're a humble 12-ounce aluminum can. Here you are in the bin, surrounded by paper and plastic, probably spiders. You might be here for up to 2 weeks. That's how often the city picks up residential recycling. So, while I roll this to the curb, let's tackle the first question. Why?
Why do they pick up trash every week and recycling every 2 weeks? Shouldn't it be the opposite?
The answer is basically yes.
The goal is to eventually go composting or organic citywide weekly recycling and then pull back on the trash.
But it probably won't happen anytime soon. Mimi Cardenas is a spokesperson for Austin Resource Recovery. She says the department will likely introduce curbside compost pickup before it switches to weekly recycling pickup. That could take years to roll out. One other reason, the cost. People debate whether recycling or landfilling is more expensive, but adding recycling pickups without cutting elsewhere would, of course, cost more.
Here comes the truck.
This is my first time inside a recycling truck, and I have to say, it's a lot cooler than I expected it to be. Cooler, as in it looks kind of like a spaceship.
Got steering wheels on both sides.
A huge console between the seats.
Buttons and knobs.
And a CB.
If you ain't listening to the radio, you're listening to everybody talk on the mic. So, yeah, it gets pretty, sometimes it gets lonely sometimes.
Jacob Cervantes operates the truck. It's the kind with a big claw on the side to pick up the bins. He likes the job, but it can get repetitive.
Yeah, it does. You get a little groundhog action going on, you know, that movie Groundhog, where he repeats the day over and over. It happens.
He can make up to 1,000 stops in a day. That's a lot of recycling. So I pitched him this question.
What are the most common items inappropriately placed in recycling bins?
You want to keep out water hoses, plastic bags.
It's because those hoses and thin plastic bags gum up the gears in the trucks and later in the process. So when Austin banned plastic shopping bags, that helped keep Cervantes on schedule.
Right now, this street right here, we're done.
Now, with our 12-ounce can and a bunch of other stuff crushed up in the back of the truck, we're on to the next stop. All of the city trucks end up in one of two recycling centers that have contracts with the city. We're at Balcones Recycling Facility in East Austin. Bob McGivney is Director of Small Business Sustainability here.
We're just walking up to the main doors of the facility. Again, it's very much like an aircraft hangar, 100,000 square foot facility. And here we have a front loading truck that services dumpsters that's backing into the tip floor.
It's called the tip floor because it's where all the trucks tip out their trash for sorting.
And this is just a massive pile of stuff.
If you look at it, you can see it's everyday household things. A lot of junk mail. There's a rug that shouldn't be in there.
And all this junk attracts animals. I saw birds, some rats, even a cat. And, of course, there was our can.
Aluminum is almost infinitely recyclable, and the raw material is bauxite. So this can very well be recycled hundreds of times.
This is the real turning point for all this trash.
It's valuable, recyclable commodities, Mos.
Okay, sorry.
It's not trash.
Right. This is where the things you throw in your bin stop being things. They stop being boxes, bottles, or a 12-ounce aluminum can. They become those commodities. This is where they separate them out, basically on an elevated assembly line, and get them to the highest bidder. And this is the place a lot of people have questions about. How high-tech is it? Some of it is very high-tech, like here, where infrared lights test the density of plastics, and then jets of air blow them to different piles. And other places on the line are more old-fashioned, like here, where lines of women do hand-sort items and discard unusable things, like pizza boxes. Next question.
How clean do peanut butter jars really have to be?
Not that clean. A quick rinse will do. Next question.
Paper labels that are on a plastic bottle.
They are burned off, but not here. That's later in the process. Now, here's a question I had. What is the craziest thing they've seen on the line?
Oh, one time we had a raccoon pass through the entire system alive. Yeah.
Wow.
So we just had to stop the belt and let him scurry off.
And he just got away?
He ran off, yeah. Went to back about his business.
It's a good thing he got off before the baler. That's where our can ends up, crushed with all the other cans into a huge, colorful 3x4 foot cube of aluminum. It's almost hypnotizing to look at.
You can see beer cans in there, LaCroix, soda cans, some Natty Light, Coca-Cola. It's beautiful, isn't it? Very colorful.
And that brings us to our last question. Where does it all go? About 15% of the stuff tossed in blue bins ends up in a landfill. The rest of the stuff is sold and sometimes resold. It can end up down the road or overseas. Now, as far as our can actually has one more stop here in Austin.
So this would be over 4 million cans right here.
I'm standing next to a pile of those can cubes with Ike Shapiro. He's part owner of Austin Metal and Iron. It's right off I-35 downtown. The cans from Balcones are sent here, where they join more cans.
Being the town that we live in, you know, there's not a lot of industry here, but one thing this town is good at is drinking a lot of cans, you know, sodas and beer and everything. So cans is a big item for us.
So where do they end up? Ike says a lot of them go to, drum roll, Kentucky. That's where they are melted down and turned back into aluminum cans.
Next time I open a can, I'll wonder. It came right through these doors.
I hope so. We hope it does.
Or maybe it did.
Yes, would you like to have a little Coke?
Sure thing.
Okay.
That's why when I met Kathy Bell Hargrave, I was still kind of struggling with how to open this story.
And again, I'm really not sure if this is the end or the beginning or something else entirely.
That's KUT's Mose Bouchel. You can find the rest of our series at atexplained.kut.org. You can also subscribe to this podcast there. And you can also ask your own questions. Give us your email address and we'll keep you posted on voting rounds and the latest stories. AT Explained is produced at KUT in Austin. I'm Matt Largie.